You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 31st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Daniel. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hey, Taryn, I'm good. How about you?
Doing well. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 26 in the house. A relatively slow day with a pickup of a pace later in the day, but ultimately, just to forewarn you, nothing has changed. Don't worry about it. really, like nothing major has changed at all, except that there's been a little bit more progress on the Danny front. But we'll talk about it all from yesterday. We started the day, obviously, Enzo, still HOH. He has nominated Kaser and Kevin, but Kevin has the veto. He will be taking himself off the block. The plan in place is for Enzo to nominate Christmas as the replacement because she volunteered for the position, which was not the greatest move in the world. that's the plan on the docket. But we also, of course, have Tyler in play, and he's been trying to get people against Danny for a while now. His initial plan, I believe, was to pull in Day and Bay and move forward in that direction. But after the David situation, he's had to be a little more aggressive with Enzo, flipping him. He's really getting to a point, I think, where he's just like, screw it. I'm just going to go for it. So we'll talk about all of it. Cody and Enzo have a conversation in the morning, right? Cody encourages Enzo to put Christmas up. Hey, she volunteered. Perfect. We're not going to hear anything about flipping this vote. No way. If anybody says anything about flipping this vote, boom, they're done forever. You, me, and Tyler, we're going to run this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good for Cody, right? His best move right now is to get Kaser out. Anybody who would be absolutely against that power structure, like 100%, should absolutely go. I think things will change in that power structure sooner rather than later. And I'm not sure if Cody knows about that just yet, because I don't think he has a clue that people are onto Danny, like more people besides maybe Enzo. But from that conversation, I think that's the right move for Cody. Just get Kaser out, like the inevitable is going to happen. People are going to start playing harder, right? But for Cody's game, it is best that he delays it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. They love Tyler though, because he's willing to just go after whoever. Enzo, he's cold blooded, yo. Because Tyler keeps telling them, like, I don't care. I'm just gonna go after Danny. Like, I don't even care. And so they love it. Like, ah, yes. Enzo's like, the poor guy. Yo, that's it. He's tired. He can't have his tofu. He's sleeping downstairs with the enemy. He's waking up with Danny being like, oh, poor guy, yo. That's it. He's sitting on my couch. I'm like his psychiatrist. He's like, I'm ready to backdoor Danny next week, yo. He's like the bandit. He's the bandit. And he's like, I wanted to call us the bandits. And Cody's like, well, you can't call us the bandits if he's the bandit. No, he's the green-eyed bandit. We're the bandits. I'm the Shundance kid. That's a banditsy kind of name. That's it, yo. So.
Yeah. Enzo is hysterical. I definitely think he has one of the most underrated social games ever at this point, right? We're seeing it now on this season. He's just so charismatic. He makes you feel like you're his person, right? He's a guy's guy, but he also relates to the girls very well. It's something that I haven't seen on Big Brother, especially in his, I guess, age bracket in a really long time. I think it's really refreshing. I love having the Meow Meow on this season. He's frustrating at times, but I mean, isn't every Big Brother player frustrating at times because we get to watch them 24/7?
Yeah.
But I love the way that he talks about people or the way that he looks at the game. I disagree with the way that he views Kacer just because I do think that Kacer authentically really likes Enzo, but Enzo can't do anything about that because everyone else wants Kacer out at this point. So,
well, I think when we'll talk about this, I think the problem with Kacer is that he's still up there talking about going after Enzo's closest allies.
Right.
Like, it's like, what are you supposed to do with that?
Right.
But Nicole and Ian are going to check in. She says she's still worried that Ian might go up on the block. She doesn't want that. If it can be helped, at the very least, she wants to make sure that she's seen to Ian as trying to prevent it. Again, Nicole knows what she's doing. This is one of the. It's one of like the breaking points, the testing points for a Big Brother player is that when you have multiple allies and you're letting one of them go or you're willing to let one of them go, it's very easy for that person to be able to tell that you're not trying. And so Nicole, she's very good at pretending to try. Again, I think she also genuinely would be like, it's better for her if he doesn't go up. Possible. So she's talking to him about, you need to reiterate that you are a vote to evict Kacer, so that, you know, he's relying on our votes. So he'll feel like he doesn't want to put you up so that he knows he has your vote. She thinks that Enzo has been considering someone like him or her, but hopefully they can talk him out of it. And they can make this work. And so that's where they are right now. And Ian feels like they're in a pretty good place. Ian feels, other than maybe being put up as a pawn. Janie going last week was a huge break for us. He says, huge break. Everyone made such a mistake sending Janelle home. We're in such a great spot. And the reason we can't keep Kacer is because, the battle back, you know, what if Janelle comes back and Kacer's still in the game? So, that's unfortunately still a big reason.
I think that's such a miscalculation by Ian, and we know that to be true. It's so better for his game if Janelle is there, just because he is like, there's only two winners in the game. It's him and Nicole. And I think to Nicole's credit, which is hard for me to do, Nicole is doing a great job of keeping Ian alive in this game. She's the one that's bringing him into these things. She's the one that's filling him in, at least of the social dynamic, the social environment of the game. She's telling him, you need to just go against Kacer. You need to tell people you want Kacer out, so that you don't get up on the block, so that people aren't tempted to vote you out. Because selfishly for Nicole, she knows if she's up on the block against Ian, she will stay. I don't see any world where she gets evicted over Ian. So for her game, she knows inevitably people will go after the winners at some point. That's a really great, valid excuse to go after somebody. But for her to be putting in so much work to keep him alive in order for her safety net to be larger and safer, I commend her for that. I think it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant on her part.
Yeah. And I really, you know, it's not enough players in this game are up to speed on the new school game, right? Like when Janelle asked Ian how close he was to Nicole and if he was willing to go with them instead of with, you know, Nicole's group, and Ian was like, no, I'm with Nicole, don't you dare go after her. Like, that was an opportunity for Ian to play both sides a little bit, to be like, okay, look, I'm with Nicole. Nicole's never coming after me. It's not good for my game if you go after Nicole. But if you think she's working with a bigger group, have at him. I don't care. I'll be with you. I won't come after you. It's good for my game if you go after them and I get more Nicole to myself. And if they're going after you, that's also good for my game. So why not try and keep this around for as long as possible? We're seeing the results that as soon as Janelle left, Ian is now one of the biggest targets on the board. Could have been backdoored this week. Still might be in the future. But instead, he, you know, kind of locked himself back into the position he's in.
Right. It's frustrating for me because when I watched Ian on Big Brother 14, like, he still had his social reservations, right? He's not the best social player at the beginning, at least. But he is smart. He is very calculated. He knows what he can do. The problem is, at least in my opinion, in this house, the social environment is not ideal for Ian right now. There is a locked power structure, and Ian knows that at least something exists from this. He thinks that he is safe because Nicole is his person, and he knows that Nicole can protect people well. What he doesn't, I think, understand is that she is so locked in with Danny and Cody that she would drop him for them. I'm very confident in that at this point. She has not given us any indication that she would drop Cody or Danny for Ian, although that would be a great play, in my opinion, for Nicole to just stick with Ian and have him be her final two. I think she's more geared towards Danny and Cody, and that will be the demise of Ian right now, unless he changes something very quickly, unless he identifies that he is in a problem, that he could go to like Bailey or Devon, or even try to get riled people up and be like, look, there is a power structure. We're in the bottom. We need to fix it. Until that happens, he's just playing the, well, I hope the other side gets power so that they go after these Cody, Tyler, Enzo people and not me. And I could just skate on by and hope that people forget about me. And that might work in a season where it's all new players, but Ian, you're one of two winners. There's no way you can skate by. There is zero opportunity for him to do that.
Ian literally exists as the fall guy for Nicole and, yes, and or Cody or anybody else in that group. Mm-hmm. And we'll see it a little bit later that he just gets thrown into that group. And you'd better bet that if people want Ian to go, they can get Ian on the block and they'll send Ian home instead of Nicole or Cody or someone else. Ian does also talk about David. He said, you know, I had no problem with David until he came up to me and started talking. It's like he's got a crystal ball that he shakes up and just says whatever pops up. It makes me want to vomit. He also thinks that Enzo is amazing. He says, even if Enzo puts me up, I wouldn't nominate him. I think Enzo's one of the best players of all time. If me or you don't win, Nicole, I'd want Enzo to win. Enzo, Ian likes you.
Woo, go Enzo! No, I mean, it's just obvious to me. Like, Enzo is just doing an amazing job and no one is saying otherwise. Like, no one is being like, you know who we need to go after? Enzo. His social game is amazing. And his last knock was like, oh, he doesn't win competitions, right? I think earlier this season, I forget who said it, they were like, oh, Enzo won his one competition. That now he's done for the season, but guess what? He just won again. And he'll probably win some more. This cast isn't full of comp beasts. They're full of, you know, social strategic players. So when you have someone like Enzo, who's amazing at the social game and compared to everyone else, is physically good, it could be the summer / now late fall of Enzo.
Tyler and Christmas have a conversation. They haven't talked in a while. They're catching up a little bit, but still not a ton. Tyler does warn her not to give Danny any information to use against her. And they talk about Danny being sketchy. He is still continuing to plant these seeds with Christmas. Christmas lets him know about her conversation with Nicole and Danny the other day. She mentions that they wanted to throw the HOH to her. And they were like, oh, it seemed like you really needed it.
it, and that pissed her off that they were trying to use like her child to be like, oh, you needed it because you wanted to see your child. That's why we're going to throw this HOH to you. That's why we're going to have you go after people for us. And so that did not make her very happy. She does not tell Tyler that she volunteered for the block, though. I feel like at this point, she's not telling anybody. I think at this point, she feels like she's still not being nominated. Nobody's told Christmas yet that, oh, that offer's being taken up. You are going on the block. So she doesn't quite realize that yet. And I wonder if she had told Tyler earlier in the day, if Tyler would have been pushing harder for Danny earlier in the day.
Right. And again, like I understand Christmas's point of view of volunteering. She thinks that she hasn't shown that she's capable of enough right now. She hasn't won any competitions, right? She's basically a sitting duck in her eyes. If she volunteers, it's showing this alliance that she can be super loyal. Shout out to her son. And she can be someone who is a very valuable asset and alliance member. And in the new school, Big Brother, that's really, really important. So in that aspect, I get where she's coming from. But I think you should tell Tyler, hey, I volunteered for these reasons, so that he can be like, why would you volunteer? Or no, let's try pushing someone else to go up. You literally just told Tyler, oh, Danny and Nicole are saying this, that, and the other. You could just have a big group go up to Enzo and say backdoor Danny. But Christmas is failing in that department, in my opinion. She needs to be more aggressive. People believe that she's going to be the one to put up Bailey or Davon or backdoor Danny. All the guys believe that Christmas is going to be making these moves, but she might, but that's assuming that she's on your side of the numbers. Because right now everyone is saying, oh, she'll do our dirty work, but the dirty work is both sides of the house.
Yeah, the only thing for me about Christmas volunteering for the block is that like Enzo didn't ask her. Like, no. He didn't even hint, like, it came out of nowhere. Enzo already really liked Christmas, wanted to work with Christmas, and never would have, like, he was taught, like, she's our bulldog. Like, he wanted Christmas, he wanted to work with Christmas, he wanted to pull her into an alliance. Like, if she had approached him with this idea for a Kevin Christmas Enzo alliance, he would have been like, absolutely, totally down. She didn't need to volunteer for the block, in my opinion, to make this happen. But another thing that's happening, so Enzo does have a conversation with Kevin, then with Christmas, and Christmas talks to Kevin, and they all come together, and they are going to come together to make a new kind of alliance: Christmas, Enzo, and Kevin. This is the thing that Christmas was pitching to Enzo the day before when she volunteered for the block. And so they agree that they're going to be working together. Christmas is going to go up as a pawn. She's like, okay, as long as I'm not going to be like the person that keeps going up as a pawn. And it's like, Christmas, Enzo has no control over that. You go up as a pawn, people are going to start to use you as a pawn. That's just how it works. But they agree that they're working together. And Enzo makes sure that they're aware, like, hey, the rules, yo, though, that like how we did it in the brigade is that whoever wins HOH, they get to do what they want. You know, you give your input, yo, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, with the whole Christmas thing is mind-boggling to me. She's been doing a good job, I guess, but her just volunteering, I get it. It makes sense, but you're exactly right, Taryn. If you volunteer once as a pawn, people are going to assume that you'd be okay with going up again and again and again. And that's not a pattern that you want to be in, especially in a double eviction round where people have how many so minutes to decide. She might just be thrown up against a Nicole or a Danny or something saying, oh, we're going to get out Danny. And then Christmas ends up going because the plan falls through. Christmas should not be in this position of perpetual pawn, perpetual nom. She should leave that to Kevin or David or someone else who's actually been going up and people want to get out, or even Ian in that sense. Christmas would not have been the pawn in a lot of situations, but she is putting that in her own hands that, oh, if I go up on the block, I'll have the social capital to stay and get votes. It's just, I disagree with it so much. I do think that Christmas, Kevin, Enzo alliance is probably the most random alliance that I would have expected from All Stars. Like, those three names I would never would have seen working together. Do I think it's a real alliance? I don't think so. I think Enzo is just trying to rack up allies. Mm-hmm. Maybe Christmas thinks this is real and Kevin is just going to cling on to whatever he can at this point because he's like literally at the bottom. But I'm curious how you feel about that, Taryn. Do you think that this is a viable alliance? Do you think this is something that can really gain power here? Or is this just Enzo gaining puppets?
Hey, this is Enzo gaining puppets. I think that Christmas is looking at it like, oh, I really like this. Christmas might be loyal to it. She, as far as I'm aware, has not told Tyler about it yet. I don't know if she will. But I think that she does look at it as a main thing for her. Whereas Enzo is looking at it like, I put my bulldog in a cage with another person, you know what I mean? Like great, I've got my bulldog on call, now fully loyal to me. So I'm pretty sure that's about where it stands.
I totally agree with you on that. I was reading about that and I was watching it, catching up, and I was like, Enzo really just wants to be the godfather this season. I think he saw like what happened with his season. He saw that he can run the house. He knows how to do it before he run. Big Brother 12 is so different than Big Brother 22, right? Different time, different era, Big Brother. But he understands it and he gets how the social game is, in my opinion, the most important part of it. And he's excelling and he's going to people and people are coming to him now and saying, look, Enzo, like, look at these alliances. You're in the bottom of this power structure. And he's not in there like the main alliance, but he's so like safe. He's never going to be number one target for anybody. He's doing, I keep saying this, he's doing an amazing job. I love Enzo. He's doing great.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So another thing that was happening throughout the day was that Kevin was going around testing out hiding spots for himself, not like for a veto competition. Like, he is getting under the bed, putting the bed over him and being like, okay. And then he gets up and he puts the bed back in the photo room. Then he went behind like the dresser and he like opened the door enough so that it would be hiding him. And it's in the corner behind the door that comes in. And then he was in the storage room and he got in the trash can and like put the trash bag over him so that he would be hidden. I don't know exactly what he is doing here. Maybe he is trying to be the next James from season 17 and 18, and he wants to do some fun pranks. Or he is trying to be the next Tony Vlachos, and he's trying to do some Spy Shack stuff.
I was trying to figure this out, too. I'm like, he's bored, right? He is extremely bored. He won veto now. He's 100% safe. Now he doesn't have to, like, whine all week. He's just going to hide and play hide and seek with himself. No, I actually really like that take about Tony. I can see him trying to be like, oh, I'm going to hide here and see if anyone comes in here and like talks. Like, if you can hide in the storage room and wait for people to come in there and have their like 2-minute chats in front of the fridge, that could be useful. I just don't think Kevin would be able to use that information for anything good at all. He hasn't been able to use information well all season, but yeah, I was telling my friends, I was like, if the only entertaining thing that happened today was Kevin hiding in spots, I'm not sure how entertaining today was. But yeah.
Yeah. So The feeds go down for a long time because there is a wall yeller. The wall yeller yells, "Nicole and Cody are playing everyone," which, like, you dummy, you think that's going to change this week? Like, what are you doing? Why would you say that? Why wouldn't you say something like about Christmas or about Danny, like coming for Enzo, like something that could actually save Kacer?
Right.
Dummy.
I'm very half and half on wall yellers, right? I think it's funny to watch, like, oh, haha, outside interference. Like, that's something that's kind of funny. The gamer in me would be absolutely so livid if I was in the Big Brother house and someone yelled, like, someone outside the game influenced the game directly and it impacted me. In this regard, though, I don't think it changed anything, like, super impactful, at least for the immediate future. Or the immediate, like, right now.
Honestly, future, I don't think it changed a thing. People are talking about, like, oh, the night was crazy. I don't think it had anything to do with the wall yeller.
Right. I think it would make a really big impact if they had said something like, Nicole, Cody, and Danny are playing you all. Because then I think Danny gets backdoored for sure, right? Because Enzo's already sort of a little bit thinking about it. And he could say, oh, you know, I heard some things. But I just think saying Nicole and Cody, I saw people online saying, oh, that's the thing that he should have said, or they should have said, that's great. I'm under the impression that maybe they shouldn't have said anything at all, just because I don't think it, like you said, it doesn't help anything.
I've said this before. All wall yellers do is give the people in power ammunition to do what they want. In this case, it's going to be Tyler, who is going to be able to sort of manipulate the situation to advance his own agenda. I think that he would have been advancing this agenda regardless. That's all it is. And personally, I've also said this, wall yellers, people are like, oh yes, go wall yeller. And it's like, that's great. As long as they're saying something that you think that you want.
Right.
But like, they're like vigilantes. Like, you might be like, yes, as long as they're like killing the people that you think are worth, deserve death. Right. but then what happens when a wall yeller comes in to screw over, somebody that you like? Now all of a sudden you don't like wall yellers and it's really unfair. And why isn't CBS stopping the wall yellers? Because they screwed over my favorite. Could you imagine if Kacer and Janelle were playing really well and because it's just one individual comes up and screws Kacer and Janelle over and they get sent home because of it. How do you feel about that?
Right. No, I totally agree with that. I could just imagine today someone walks up to the like backyard and just yells, Davon's America's player, or like, oh, Enzo is like playing you all. And these people, now that everyone like they will definitely use that against someone like Davon, right? Yeah. So I agree. I think it's funny because it's like, oh, haha, but I would just rather not have it at all. I don't understand how CBS like can't stop these people. Like,
I mean, they yell from like across the river. It's not like they can like have security out there all the time. I do think they do have security out there some of the time. But like the thing about this, too, like if a wall yeller does yell something that actually does change the game, let's say against Cody and Nicole, let's say it actually works to some degree. What's to stop another person who's like, I hate that just happened, from then going into the across the river and yelling something that counteracts it or goes against, like, oh, if you think you're benefiting whoever, like, I don't know, Kacer, because of this wall yelling, then I'm going to go and screw Kacer over because screw you for yelling that. Like, if you open this can of worms, it doesn't bring you to a good place.
Right. You are exactly right. Like you said, people aren't big fans of Nicole right now, or really ever this season. So they were happy that the wall yeller said that she was playing everybody. But the people in power know that Nicole and Cody are kind of running everything because they are the ones who are in the majority alliance. I'm sure they can just justify that by saying, oh, they didn't have enough time to say all of our names. They just said Nicole and Cody because they're the most visible. You hit it right. Tyler is in power. He's going to use this as a way to just push his own agenda. It's not helping the people on the bottom at all.
And it's only the most deranged people that are going to go there to yell. And those people are not the people that you probably want to be interfering with the game.
No, because they're not going to, like, you only have, what, like 3 or 4 seconds to really get a message out. And those people who are going to go and yell aren't going to be thinking like, oh, what's going to make the most impact? They're just going to say something that in their mind thinks, oh, this is going to be really cool. They're going to realize that they're playing hard. It's like, of course they're playing hard. Everyone is saying, oh, this game is so laid back, but everyone knows that they're playing hard right now too. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
All right. So Wall Yeller happens, feeds are down for like 4 hours, which is also fun, of course. When the feeds come back, Day is talking to Christmas. She still wants David up, on the block to take him out, or maybe Ian, like somebody other than you, Christmas. Christmas agrees, I'd be down for that. She's playing the role. She talks to Day like, hey, we're on board. And she says that Christmas says that Danny is somebody that she's worried about. And Devon agrees with that. And so that would be an option as well. Enzo talks to Nicole. He lets her know that nothing has changed. Christmas is the one going on the block. Nicole says that makes some sense. Kacer talks to Enzo, and he pitches. Kacer says, all right, it's Tyler, Danny, Cody, and Nicole. It's what I've said. Are you close with them, Enzo? Enzo said, I keep them close because they're beasts. Why would I not want them on my side? And this is something that Kacer should listen to, I think. but Kacer says, well, you're on the outskirts of that. And you need me in this game to keep you safe from Tyler and Cody. Tyler, he's just too good at this game. Did you watch his season? He just picks people off. That's what he does. He picked off the girls. And he took out the people. He's too good. Enzo's like, yeah. I hear you, Kacer. That's it.
Yeah, Kacer went about that really wrong, right? Mm-hmm. He literally told Enzo to go after all the people that he's working with. I guess Kacer might be underestimating Enzo's game by saying like, oh, there's no way that Enzo has these close relationships with them. Or if he thinks that he does, they're not as strong as their bonds with each other. And that's where I didn't understand why Kacer was like, you should just put up David or else I'm gone. If you put up anybody else but David, you have just kicked me out, Enzo. You have killed me. I am dead because of you if you don't put up anyone but David. I'm like, Dave, like, I get it. David has like annoyed people. He's pissed off Tyler. He's pissed off Day and Bay. It makes sense. I get where Kacer is coming from. But if he had just listened to what Enzo was saying, and I think this has been Kacer's problem all season. He isn't listening to what other people have to say. He's putting out his own feelers. He's saying, this is the way it is. This is the way that it is. You all don't see it, but I know this to be true. And everyone at least knows some tidbit of the truth. And they're saying to him, look, like that might be true, but it's not possible to shake that up right now. We need to do this, that, and the other. If he had just listened to what Enzo had to say, I think that maybe there would be a better chance for a Danny to go up. Or maybe somebody else. But again, mm-hmm. Kacer firmly believes if it's David or he's out.
I really feel like Kacer's biggest error in this game, in the entire game, and he's had a few, has been that he came into the game with a certain idea of who Tyler was. He was the mastermind of his season. I can never work. Like, I think he's got a little bit of like that. I'm not going to make the same mistake I did in All-Stars. I'm not going to trust the Dr. Will. And the problem is that first of all, Tyler's not Dr. Will. He is not that kind of player. He's a very good player, but he's not the kind of like, I'm going to laugh at you while I stab you in the back kind of player. And that's what Kacer thinks that Tyler is. And if you really watched these seasons, you would know Enzo and Cody are way more similar than Tyler and Cody. Enzo is the brigade guy. He teams up with the bros. Tyler teamed up with the women. He did not like the bros. Tyler earlier in the day was having a conversation with David where he talked about how he doesn't like being there. He's not having fun this season. He misses Angela and Casey, his people. He had a team before, and we've talked about this, how we feel like Tyler doesn't like these people very much, and I think it's pretty clear, based on his attitude, that he really doesn't like them very much. He doesn't want to have to be working with them. He wishes that he could be working with the Casers and the Janelles, but he's forced into this group of people that he's having to bro down with, and that's not who he is. And so he's having to make do with what he has, but if Kacer and Janelle had just gone in that direction, then they could be in the spot that Bailey and Davon are now kind of in, because they're going to Tyler, and he is trying to keep them safe to some degree by pushing Danny out in front instead, which can totally shake up the game. And that's where Janelle and Kacer could be if they had tried to approach Tyler, not to mention the fact that even Cody was open to the idea of bringing Janelle in, not Kacer, but Janelle. And with Tyler vouching for them, that might have actually happened.
No, you're exactly right. I firmly believe that Tyler is the reason that he's not having a lot of fun right now is because he's not in power. He's not, like, he is in power, but he's not number one. He's not the one that's making all the decisions. He's not the one that's connected with every single person. Tyler is really smart, and I think he understands that right now the power is in the hands of Nicole, Cody, and Danny. That's why he's trying to get Danny out of the game so that he can slide into that power spot. He knows if he can get Danny out, he can get Nicole, he can get Cody more on his side. He needs to just pick off those people a little bit one by one by one. He knows 100% that Bailey and Davon are never going to go after him. Because even if they do decide to go after that big power structure, it will never be Tyler. Because Tyler always has kept that door open to work with them. Whereas Nicole has that door with Davon, but not with Bailey. Danny has that door with Bailey, but not Davon. So it's just back and forth of what Tyler can do and what he's capable of doing. He has said on the feeds that he is going hard for this next HOH. He wants to change the dynamic, and I believe it. And I think that we could see a Tyler HOH that completely gets Danny out of the game. And I hope it happens, because I think this season will completely change if it does.
Yeah, and like, this is the thing, like, this is not Tyler's game. Tyler likes to play an exciting game. Like, Tyler was the guy who was encouraging blindsides and split votes and messing with the other side. And while he doesn't like the manipulation part of the game, he does want to play the game hard. And he wants to go after Danny, and he wants to do these things. It's very funny to me, actually, that Tyler is like the focus of this sort of like old school versus new school meme, because one of the first things I actually said to Tyler was after Big Brother 20 was like, hey, you really brought back the sense of like excitement that Big Brother had in the old school of like blindsides and stuff. And he really appreciated that, because that's the Big Brother that he fell in love with, and that's the Big Brother that he's talking about yesterday on the feeds. Like, this is boring. We should be doing more. And Kacer said the same thing. Like, the first All-Stars was way more exciting. This is so boring. But that's the Cody game. Cody's like, we don't blindside people. We don't get into fights. That's not what we do. That's not good for our game. And so there's this sort of clash of cultures here. And Tyler, I think, is actually on the other side of it.
No, he so is. And you're right. I think the safe way to play Big Brother is exactly the way that Cody is doing it right now. Lay low, no drama. You're on top. If there's no drama and there's no blindsides and no split votes, you're always going to stay on top. The power will never change. Someone like Tyler knows how to effectively get to the end of this game while also maneuvering in a way that's secretive, but through blindsides, through these split votes, through these huge moves, right? So for Tyler right now, this environment, this game environment is not matching what he did in Big Brother 20. So that's why I feel like he's trying to change that once again. He's trying to create sides so that he can go to Bailey, Davon, Kevin, David. He's rallying up these troops and trying to get them to see what's going on without exploding his own game. And that's why he was so upset with David, right? Because David went to Davon and was saying all this stuff about Tyler. But that's a side that I think Tyler really, truly would want to work with, because he knows he can beat them probably in competitions. He knows that he has really good social connections with all of them. And he knows he probably can't beat like 100% Cody. Even like, again, Nicole and Danny haven't won anything this season so far, but they have experience in this game. They have a lot of good experience. They've won. They're quote unquote legends to other people. The other side is just like the ragtags, right? So of course, Tyler would rather work with them. And he knows that the game would be more fun that way. Maybe he's not thinking about the fun, but I just can't see a world where Tyler continues to go along with whatever Cody, Enzo, Memphis, Nicole, Danny wants to do. Not for the fact that he wants to get farther, but just because he wants to be the one in power. He wants to be the one controlling things and making the blind sides happen.
Mm-hmm. So really the actual stuff that changed things, or not changed things, but started to progress things last night was that, Nicole was talking to, while the feeds were down, apparently Nicole had a conversation with Tyler where she brought up that, that she would never put up Davon, just like Tyler would never put up Bailey. And Tyler was like, wait a minute, how does she know that I would never put up Bailey? I never told Nicole that. And then also, Danny came into the conversation and talked about the Slick Six right in front of Nicole, and made it obvious that Nicole knows about the Slick Six. And those two things right away were like, oh, Tyler was like, this is beautiful. This is so much ammunition to use against Danny. And so Tyler went to Bailey and really pushed hard on the anti-Danny agenda, that she's been doing things, she's been spreading things, that Danny is the person that needs to go. Maybe we can get Danny up on the block this week, maybe at the very least next week, like soon. We have to make this happen. And so like Tyler started pushing this Danny agenda very hard last night. And he was able to use these conversations that unfortunately we had to miss. But he used these conversations to rile up Bailey. So Bailey got riled up and he was riled up and they were ready to go. This is what caused the, you know, quote unquote chaos last night. Christmas goes to Enzo and warns him, hey, Davon is going to try and, you know, pitch you something, that like David or Ian should go up, maybe just somebody from this side or whatever. And they talked about how Danny is dangerous and that maybe like, hey, if we want to do this, like I'd be down. He says, it's still too early though. And she still doesn't want Bailey on the jury. That's something that she talked to Tyler about, that she feels like Bailey is going to be a bitter juror. She doesn't want her on the jury.
Yeah. I mean, when I was watching that conversation, I thought Christmas was really almost trying to pitch to Enzo that he should do this. Like, look, we have ample opportunity. The votes are here. We could get Danny out right now. Enzo's body language and the way that he was talking to Christmas was very obvious that he did not want to do this. He doesn't want to pull that trigger on his own HOH. And I get why. He doesn't want to be seen as the one leading the resistance, leading this revolt against these players who he's in an alliance with. And that's why he's saying to them, look, I don't want it to be on my HOH, man. Like, you can do it on yours. Why don't y'all win something? You know what I mean?
It doesn't make sense for him to do it.
No, it does not make sense for him to do it at all. I tweeted this last night. I said, look, they can pitch to him the best pitch of all time. It would make 100% sense for him to backdoor Danny. And it does make sense for an overall house game perspective. But for Enzo's game, it doesn't make sense. Just get Kacer out. You will still have all these people who want to work with you, and they would still want to get Danny out. They're not going to think that Enzo and Danny are working together just because he decides not to backdoor her. I think he's playing this right. Put up Christmas as she said that you would volunteer to do it. Get Kacer to go, and then just hope and pray that one of these people like Christmas or Tyler or Bay or Day win HOH, and then they can backdoor Danny, and it ends up being like, I don't know what happened, man. I don't know how to do it. Like, and he's still in the middle and he's still safe. It's
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that even Tyler recognizes, cause you know, a Kacer is still coming for him. Like, okay, this week Danny can slide by, but I've got my pieces set up to make sure it happens next week. Enzo talks to Day and Bay. He tells them about Kacer's pitch, says he's not into it, Kacer thinks Tyler, Danny, Cody, and Nicole are running things, it's whatever. Bailey says she is worried about Danny, says, like, what if we made a move on Danny this week? Enzo's like, nah, it's too early for that, yo. He believes that Cody is with them and they don't have cause to worry, and that Christmas is the nomination because she volunteered, but we'll keep an eye on Danny soon. Let's make the move on Danny soon, aka you guys do it. Thanks. So that's about where that goes.
Right. And the thing is, too, with Enzo not putting up Danny in this round, it's still like, it's almost like not a crock pot. It's almost like a steamer, right? You put a pressure cooker. You put all this pressure, and Enzo is just cranking the heat up. He's not letting the top off yet. He's just cranking it up. Because when someone else wins HOH, all he has to do is be like, yo, man, I'm down. Let's go for it. And now they have Enzo's blessing, and they could just do it. I do think, though, I'm very curious. I'm watching this closely today. I'm scared for Davon, because she did tell Enzo that she does not trust Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And this could absolutely blow up in their face if Enzo goes to Cody and says, look, man, like, they told me she doesn't trust you, blah, 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 blah. Because now all of a sudden, what's Cody going to do? He's going to run and tell Nicole. He's going to run and tell Danny. And then that's all going to blow up. And now they might push for Enzo to not backdoor or put up Christmas anymore. They might say, put up Davon now.
Yeah, I mean, like, the problem is that the next target is either Davon, Bailey, or Danny. And that there's a lot of push toward Bailey from Christmas and Nicole and Danny. There's a lot of push toward Davon from Cody and it's mostly Cody at this point. And then there's now push for Danny from Tyler and Enzo, and Tyler's trying to flip Day and Bay toward Danny. And the more that Davon talks about not trusting Cody, the harder it is to keep the target on Danny, because Danny at least is loyal to the group, whereas Day is questioning the group. And so that makes them concerned about that. So it is a tricky situation, and the wall yelling situation actually did not help in that regard. It actually made it harder to put the target on Danny, because it's making Day a little bit more skeptical than she was before and being more open about it. So that's not great.
No, Tyler has Davon's right. I mean, like, she's not wrong in saying that she shouldn't trust Cody, right? But it's the same problem that Kacer has. That he's saying openly, these people are working together. We got to get all these people out. I think maybe Davon's listening to Kacer a little bit too much. And instead of going after just Danny, she's saying collectively, I feel like I'm at the bottom of this group. I don't trust Cody. I don't trust Danny. She has never really trusted Nicole F to the fullest because of what happened in the previous season. And although they've had a good relationship this season, there's always going to be in the back of her mind, will Nicole get me out again? So now that's three people who Davon's supposedly working with that she doesn't have a lot of trust in. And she's grouping them all together and saying, well, now we have to do something. We have to do something. We have to do something. And instead of going after Danny, she's going after them collectively.
Exactly. And Danny is the problem. Danny is the one, even more than Nicole, pushing for Bay and Day to go up. If Danny is gone, I don't think Nicole even cares that much. I don't think Nicole pushes that hard for Bay anymore. Danny is the main problem. She also gives Cody and Nicole a lot of power. With Danny gone, they have a lot less power. Tyler gets more power. Tyler is on board with Day and Bay. And so if they work closely with Tyler to get rid of Danny, then things can really work out in their favor. But now they're really concerned about Cody and Nicole, and they're focusing a lot on that, which is taking the focus away from Danny and going to put, I think, some of the focus back onto them. But Tyler is working hard to make sure that doesn't happen. But we'll see. Tyler talks with Cody. He says Danny must have told Nicole that I don't want to put up Bailey because Nicole knew about it. And the Slick Six thing as well. Cody lets Tyler know. He says, look, I've only told you and Enzo now. Danny actually pitched me to cast these rogue votes for Kacer to go home last week. So I'm pretty sure that she was the rogue vote, or at least one of them. And maybe it was her and Nicole, who knows? Tyler says, I talked to Bailey earlier. I tried to tell her some stuff about Danny. Like I don't even care anymore. Cody's like, that's risky, man. That's what we tried to do with David, and that blew up. Tyler's like, I don't care. I'm ready to go, dude. I'm gonna make this happen. Like, let it blow up. Like, that. This is how I play, man. Like, I'm just gonna go for it. They talk about the wall yeller a little bit as well. Tyler's like, I already knew you and Nicole were close. The yelling didn't do anything. And in fact, it might have helped us, because now maybe people will put you and Nicole up instead of you and me up. And that'll be great. And then, we can send Nicole out. Maybe we can get Ian out. It makes it easier.
Right. And I was curious, I want your opinion on this too. Do you think that Tyler being so open to going after Danny to Cody would make Cody trust Tyler more? Because here's my take on that. Although Tyler is going after Danny, and that's someone who Cody is closely working with, Cody has told people that he doesn't trust Danny as much. If Tyler is willing to go after these people, that's music to Cody's ears. He doesn't have to get blood in his hands. And he has a huge, big threat like Tyler, who's trying to make these moves. If Cody and Tyler are ever on the block, Cody can say, look, I'm not doing as much as Tyler. You should get him out over me. So in my opinion, Taryn, I think Cody should really lock in Tyler as, like, not his number one, maybe, because he still has, like, Nicole and Enzo, but really push him to, like, yeah, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this.
Well, it's a very tricky spot, because they keep saying Tyler's ruthless, yo. He's cold-blooded, which is great for them, because they feel like they can use Tyler to do damage for them. But it's also not great to have that reputation, because if they think about it for the next, like, once Danny's gone and they think about how Danny really trusted Tyler and Tyler slit her throat, they might start thinking, is Tyler going to do that to us? And so that's a dangerous place to be. So that's why it's such a delicate thing. And it's why Tyler has spent like 2 weeks building to this moment, right? Planting seeds about Danny in ways, like, Danny tries to do this and it's very obvious, but Tyler's been planting these seeds, and he has let them grow. And over the course of a couple of weeks, he has, helped Cody, like, Cody talked about this with Tyler a long time ago, that he didn't trust Danny fully. Tyler used that. He cultivated that. He brought it to Enzo. He then had Cody bring it to Enzo, and now Enzo feels it. Cody brought it to Christmas, who brought it to Enzo. He brought it today. He brought it to David. And he let all of these people, fact check with each other rather than him being the one spreading it to everyone. And it's now blossomed into this thing where now Tyler gets to present himself as the solution to the problem that he created. Guys, I will do this. I'm sick of this stuff with Danny. You guys are right. She is super sketchy. I'll take care of it for you. And if he can get away with it, then hopefully they will not think that he's too risky, because they feel like, oh, he would only do this to Danny because she's doing all of these things. Little do they know, Tyler probably has the ability to plant these seeds about them and get his allies on board with taking them out as well. But they think it's their idea, so they're not super concerned at the moment.
Right. It is brilliant from Tyler's, like, thing. Tyler is way more subtle than Danny ever would be in that game role. Danny has not done a good job in planting these seeds properly. Like, she plants the seeds and then just, like, dumps a gallon of water on it. Whereas, like, Tyler, like, slowly puts, like, one seed in, like, puts a little bit of pail of water, walks away. A day later, oh, he'll put a little bit. Danny's still, like, dumping water all over it. It's just drowning everywhere. And everyone's like, why is Danny doing all this? Like, nothing's going to grow if you're putting too much, like, on it at one time, right? But Tyler is slowly, like, nurturing it, letting it grow. It's great. And I do think that next week we will see Danny leave. If, like, again, obviously, if the right person wins HOH, but Tyler has done such a good job making Danny look like the bad guy. He can get Danny out without it amplifying his target. Because instead of her getting out because, oh, she's like she is in with so many people. It's we think that she's in with so many people, but we know she isn't. We should get her out because she's just going to keep spreading these lies. It's not because she's playing this great game. It's because she's a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Enzo is going to talk with Tyler as well. Enzo says that the Kacer's pitching, that Tyler's running the game. And Tyler's like, well, that's annoying because I would like for Danny to go this week. He says, Tyler's like, I've been trying to rile Bay up about Danny. Hopefully we can go after her like next week. Hopefully Bay and Day would go after her now. Hopefully, you know, David or Christmas, like any one of these people would go after her. That would be great. Danny exposed to Nicole about the Slick Six. Did you know that? And he was like, what? And it's like, she's got to go. This game is too boring. A Kacer first, fine, but Danny has to go next.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad in retrospect because like Danny, again, is one of those legends. But I do agree. Danny is amplifying what it means to have a boring gameplay and it working. And I don't take that away from anybody like Cody or Nicole or Danny. If that's a winning strategy, it's a winning strategy. They're there to win $500,000. It doesn't matter if they're trying to be entertaining or not. But selfishly, I want to be entertained. I want there to be blindsides and everything. And if getting Danny out opens the door for that, it needs to happen. And I think Tyler would benefit from that. And a lot of other people in the house would too.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, where it's like, and I talked about this on the roundtable on Saturday, that like this game is played weeks in advance now. I think Tyler is just like, Tyler's been angling to get Danny out for a couple of weeks now, and he's been doing the work, putting in the work to make it happen. And now he's like, let's do the exciting thing. But like really secretly, he's done it the boring way by putting the work in ahead of time. And it's right. Probably not going to make that many waves. But he wants to make big splashes. He wants to take Danny out. Christmas is also going to talk to Enzo again and be like, so about that volunteering thing. Any chance that we could maybe put a pause? Enzo's like, I don't know, yo. I think we're locked in at this point.
Like, she already paid the fee. There's no refund. Sorry, Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, you already told him that you were volunteering. And it would be really bad if she went then back to him and be like, hey, I'm not volunteering anymore. I don't want to go up. Because that just shows you don't have trust in either him or the house. And she doesn't have any proof that she can't trust the house at this point. She can't go to Enzo and be like, look, these people are sketching me out now. I don't want to go up. Because he's been all day, like all week, being like, Kacer's gone, man. He's dead. No one can strategize with him. Like, everyone's going to bed at like 8, 9 o'clock at night. He's not strategizing at all. So yeah, Christmas, I don't know why she volunteered. She's going to stay if she goes up against Kacer. So it's not like a game-ending decision. But I think she regrets it now. I think after having these conversations with people, after the wall yeller, after everything going on, I think she does not feel as safe in the house as she did maybe 2 days ago.
Well, because again, like if Christmas, like I have to imagine that the idea that there could be a wall, like if the wall yeller had yelled something about Christmas, then she might be going home this week and Kacer might be staying. You know what I mean? Not that, like, again, it's probably not because... at the end of the day, the people in power have power and they will use the information to do whatever they want with it. But if you convince the people in power that they want Christmas to go, then Christmas would go. So I have to imagine she's like, well, if I go on the blog and somebody yells something about me, that would not be fun. Right. So, but ultimately, as we said at the start of this, episode that, nothing really has changed. This Danny stuff was already in play. It's just been, taken another step, mostly because of the conversation that Nicole had with Tyler, that Danny had with, Nicole and Tyler. Christmas is still going up on the block. Kacer is still going home. I really wish that, like, if Kacer had just been lying low this week and chilling and just being pulling a Kevin and just being like, I am just done, then I really do think that it's possible that we'd see Enzo making a move, probably not on Danny, but I do think he would make the move on Ian, because to take Ian out weakens Nicole and Danny before they make the move on Danny. And I think that if he wasn't so concerned about Kacer, if Kacer wasn't talking to him about coming for his alliance, then I think he'd be very open to this idea.
I 100% agree with you on that. If once Janelle left the house, if Kacer was just like, okay, I'm going to lay in bed, I'm going to be sad, I'm just going to like stay to myself. Of course, he can still have conversations with people. But if he was just like laying there and being like, oh, well, my best friend is gone, I have no one in this house, I'm sure Enzo would have been like, yo, dude, he's already dead in the water. We can just get him out next week. He has no life left. We can take out someone big like Ian. Exactly. But instead, Kacer is like, nope, I still have like all this life in me. I'm still going to play hard, which I love and I respect that. Thank you, Kacer, for showing that you're not going to give up. But laying down and dying isn't necessarily giving up if it's a strategy. And I don't think Kacer, I don't think Kacer has ever just laid down and died in Big Brother before. So he takes that from Janelle. So I agree. I think that Kacer should have just sat there and like ate his food and just let other people become big targets, but he can't help himself. He's too smart. He just understands the game too well, and he wants to play. He came there to play. And I think you can't help yourself. He just wanted to save himself. He wanted to put his game in his own hands and say, look, I'm going to pitch myself. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try to get the votes on my side, and I'm going to lay it all on the table. And if they don't want to work with me, they don't want to work with me. And that's it.
Yeah. All right. So that's pretty much what we've got, unless there's anything else that you wanted to bring up, Daniel.
No, I think, I mean, again, like yesterday was pretty like boring until the wall yeller. And then I thought we were going to get some like really exciting things, like once people were talking about a potential backdoor, but Enzo was just not buying it. It's not for his game. So yeah, I think we're going to see Christmas go up and Kacer's out the door.
Yeah. And I'll say again, like, I think a lot of people are sort of like saying, like seeing it, like the feeds went down for 4 hours. When they came back, they were kind of fun. Therefore, the wall yeller must have had an impact. But when you look at the details, when you look at what actually happened, nothing about the wall yeller changed anything. The thing that changed things was the conversation Tyler had with Nicole, Tyler had with Danny and Nicole. If somebody tells you that the wall yeller made things exciting last night, then ask them exactly how.
Right. Yeah, it didn't. Like, it just, maybe it just moved things along a little bit more. Maybe it just like pushed the train faster.
See, but that's exactly how did that happen, Daniel?
No, right? And that's me trying to justify how the wall yeller did it. Like, that would be the only thing I could say that it helped. But again, it probably, if the wall yeller didn't happen, Tyler still probably has these like conversations tonight, and Bandai still tried to get Danny backward.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us. Daniel, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at Dan Jean Ken. That's Dan, D-A-N, Jean, like blue jeans, and Ken, K-E-N. I tweet about all things reality television. I have done wrap-ups for 90 Day Fiancé. If you're a huge 90 Day Fiancé fan, come check that out. And yeah.
All right. You can find me on Twitter, of course, at Armstrong Taran, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/TaranArmstrong. I will be back, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And then later today, we'll also have The Slop with Rob and I believe Kelly Wentworth.
Ooh.
Did I hear? Wow. I was going to make sure I didn't get that wrong. Pretty sure that's the person that came up yesterday. But that's going to be fun. And then, yes, Kelly Wentworth today. And then tomorrow night, the Stock Watch. We're going to update the prices. We're going to rate these players. We're going to have some fun. So check that out. 9 p.m. Eastern, maybe a little bit later, depending on, timing stuff. But that's what we've got for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'll see you next time.